You cannot reason this out. You must stand upon my word, says the Spirit of grace. Well, heaven and earth will pass, and all things will come and go in your life. But stand on the presence of my word when my presence in spirit seems void. Stay in the place of faith. Determine that my word and my word alone will bring you to the other side, says the Spirit of grace. We're going forward, and everybody that comes in, I'm not talking about just this physical service, but I'm talking about as people come in to this atmosphere, we want them to know that they are loved first and accepted. But not just a byword, accepted. It's really where we're at in our love. But it has a different definition than much of what is commonly taught in the church. Accepted in the church at large, where grace, the incredible grace that changes you, has been left out and redefined. If you redefine something, then you can make it to determine what you want it to say. Then you can misconstrue or pervert, which is a really strong word, but nevertheless true. You can pervert the love of God. Because some would say, we accept. And I'm not talking about anybody in here particular. I'm just saying this is how the mindset of the church is. We want you to be loved. We want you to know you're loved. We accept you just the way you are. Yes, just the way you are, we come to Christ. How can you change yourself before He can change you? You can't change you before He changes you. There's only one that can change you, and that's Him. Hallelujah. But He accepts us, but He doesn't leave us like He found us. Hallelujah. You can't be somebody that says, I love you. I love you with all of who you are. If they're carrying a weight of sin, and they're not born again, and they're caught up in all kinds of vices and all kinds of things in which the world, Satan and the flesh, has them. It's only a plastic AI. Artificial intelligence? No, artificial intimacy. It'll make them feel good for a moment to say, you can sit there week after week and there's no expectation for you to change. He loves you. And then I love you too much to not preach a gospel of change. Now there's a change that takes place for the believer, that they go from glory to glory. But there's an instantaneous change for those who come into the kingdom just as they are. They're standing there. This is not a vulgar word. Naked, as far as they have nothing to offer God. With all that sin, he says, okay, I accept you coming. No, you can't. There's no way to progressively. When I was in school, we studied Hinduism for just a little bit. We didn't, you can study stuff too much. But they believe in nobody can come to God directly. They've got millions of gods in India. But in four different classes of people. But all of them basically say this: there's no way to ever get to God except through increments. And that's where they believe in transmigration or reincarnation. And you might live a million lifetimes. Because an infinite loving God or an infinite righteous God can't accept you. They leave out one important thing. Yeshua. To start with, they're God's faults. It's a demon. But this Jesus, he paid the price by his blood. That in one moment's time, ugly, horrible life, he says, come to me. Just come to me as you are. And we step over and he says, okay, here's the void. You'd never cross it in a million years. You couldn't live enough lifetimes and get better and better and better and better. Believe me, your good works won't save you. You were born again unto good works. Hallelujah. Your giving won't save you. Your visiting the orphanage won't save you. We do those things out of who we are. You're helping the little old lady across the street. You calling grandma at Christmas. You doing a lot of nothing will get you good enough. You must be born again. And then to love you enough to do this is to say, and now I know this is for you out there, maybe some in here, or just a doctrine that we must know and continue to teach. Yes, Lord. Something he's saying to me. That we accept you at the door. But we love you too much to let you stay the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody telling you we love you as you are will bring a temporary, artificial kind of euphoria. Like, I'm loved. Yes. But they hate you. They hate you. Anytime you tell a friend, your sin's okay, that person's your worst enemy. When they tell you, oh, it's okay, he really doesn't, that doesn't bother him. When it's against his word. And then false religions have come out of the present day lives of the church that once you're born again, you really can't sin your way back out of it. Well, then why did Paul turn the man over to the enemy who wasn't married to the woman that he was with? Because he knew that that man had a limited amount of time. That is a HD. I don't know. I don't know how I carried up to tell me how many. I don't know how many pixels. When you read the words, or we put up a scene. If we put up a picture, a TV, everybody's got TVs, I guess. Unless you're so sanctified you've got rid of them. We're headed to that, maybe. Well, I need to watch the news to know if the Antichrist has come. But the millions of light, the pixels that produce the colors and the screen and That's what happens when you're born again. You go from darkness to light. You were dead, and then you're alive. You once had all your inward parts, your inward person was dead. It was filled with darkness. You might have been moral in the sense of the word, where you weren't doing, you weren't hacking people to death or stealing. But still there was darkness on the inside. Evil thoughts, evil imaginations. But what's more is you didn't fight those things because that's who you were. But Jesus said, he said to a man, he said, you must be born again. He said, I don't understand this. He said, the wind blows where it listeth, meaning King James, where it will, and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but you can see the effects of it. So it is with being born again. Once a man is born again, and I say man, I'm just using that as a gender neutral, but it means man or woman. Once that person is born again, the effects of that wind, that breath, he's talking about the breath of God. The pneumaticos, I had to use that so I could impress somebody this morning. Pneumaticos, the spiritual man was changed instantaneously. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. You don't change address. You don't get prettier or lose 50 pounds. But something happens on the inside. You go from death to life. And your pixel screen goes, it's brilliant. It's got a million pixels shining Christ, Christ, Christ. And you're a baby, and somebody says, here's truth. And if you go, that's the most critical time when that baby is born. It's the most critical time. Because that baby, it needs milk. It needs nurturing. It needs care. A father of mine in the spirit saw a vision one time of all these spiritual babies that had been born spiritually alive and then abandoned, almost like that they were abandoned over in a warehouse somewhere. The rats and the roaches began to consume them. Nobody was there to help them. This is our call. With all these spiritual babies that are going to be born again, to pick them up, nurture them, saying, here, let me feed you sound doctrine. Let me tell you that this truth, this word, this incredible word, what kind of God tells a man that's temporarily not seeing, to tell him to go get a Bible, put it in his lap, and read it. Get ready to read it. Hallelujah. I heard a man say something about that. But this is it. This is the truth that we give them. But what if? Now what if? I'm not doing this to magnify me or Jim Martin or any of the churches like us. But what if? How vulnerable is that moment that baby's born? You don't have to have a lot of doctrine to birth a baby in the spirit. You just have to let them know that Jesus paid the ultimate price. And then they're born again. But those that beginning right there, boy, the take home from the hospital and how they'll be nurtured in those next year of their life, 2 years of their life, depends on if they get enough. What if they get poison? What if they go to a place where they truly get born again? This is what Peter was talking about in the second book of Peter when he talks about that for some, and I can't even imagine this, it's hard to reconcile. He said some had been better off that they'd not known the truth than to know the truth. And then Jude called him twice dead, to know the truth and go away. The vulnerability is this. If they're picked up, and it doesn't matter, I'm talking about a spiritual baby. You could be 35, 40, 20, 19, 17. The Holy Spirit's doing everything He can to get them. He's trying to get them. Sometimes He's even trying to get them away from the person that helped them got born again. If that person goes to a church that's going to teach them radical grace, it's going to teach them that anything and everything they do is all right because Jesus loves them. You can imagine the struggle the Holy Spirit has. Yes, they've been birthed. The person that gets them birthed has a voice in their life. But He'll do everything He can, sometimes without success because of the will of people. There they are. A zenith, a brilliant light. Then they start hearing a doctrine that we love you. Don't stress it. Don't stress it. It's okay. Pastor, I'm living with someone. Yeah, that's okay. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Were you born again? Yes. It's okay. You probably just won't get the reward. Why is everybody so quiet? Probably just won't get the reward, but you'll be okay. Your mansion might not be as big as everybody else, but you'll be okay. He said after that He introduced the born again in Romans 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Not meaning that you could just do anything you wanted, but it was the crux. It was out of seven that He came, the dead man. The dead man that tried to live according to the law, couldn't keep it. And the dead man came alive, and a million pixels was born of him. He said, oh, now there's therefore now no condemnation. The old nature, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not living according to the law, but now according to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But as soon as He introduced that, it was only a few verses later that He says this. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And He wasn't talking about physical. Is this okay? I say, who are you talking to? I'm talking doctrine. Prophesying. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. What does that mean? A million pixels. Brilliant. But if you sin, doesn't mean you die the first day. Doesn't mean you die the second day. If you sin, that there's something provided for that. 1 John 1:9. If we sin, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I did that. Shouldn't have done that. We did that. We shouldn't have done that. I lied. Shouldn't have done that. I stole. Shouldn't have. He will forgive you. Hallelujah. But then he says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. The favorite of everybody is, he forgave the woman of her adultery. He sure did. He sure did. But then he told her, go and sin no more. I'm the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness. They won't walk in darkness. Why? Because if they walk in darkness and say they have no darkness, 1 John 1, then those pixels begin to die. They'll die more rapidly the further you go without saying, Jesus, forgive me. I'll do whatever you say. I'll turn from this. But if they keep dying and dying and dying and dying and dying, if those pixels keep going out, there'll be a day, there'll be an hour. The person won't even know because their mind gets, they've justified something so long. And I'm not talking about casual things. We went through, there's a great list in Ephesians and Corinthians, Galatians, of, we call them killer sins. There's certain sins that won't keep you out. I heard a man one time, he was, God bless him, he was trying to reason with me. And said, all sin's sin. I said, no, I didn't say no, because I knew he was going somewhere. And, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, stand your ground. Sometimes he'll say, they're going to believe what they're going to believe. He said, sin's sin anyway. And in other words, that's another vehicle that Satan uses. In other words, you're telling me that technically, if I was going 55, if I was going 60 and a 55, that's breaking the law, which God says we should obey man's commandments. And you're telling me technically that's on the same level as committing adultery with my wife? Well, it wouldn't be with my wife. Kind of impossible. Well, yeah, I guess because it's all sin, sin. They haven't read Corinthians or Galatians and Ephesians. Thank you. There are certain ones that it says, if you do these, you shall not. After they were born again, if you do these or you continue to do these without repenting, even after you were born again, you shall not, or you will not. He just said, he wrote it out in triplicates. He said almost the same words. You will not inherit the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, it says in one place. Well, I thought I had 1 million pixels. You did when you started. How long did it take? I don't know. I'm not your judge. I can just tell you this. I know the end result. I know you'll not leave this life in that condition. People say, well, we're commonly married, common law married. I've heard that. Well, let me uncommonly. I'll do it for free. My time is valuable, but I'll do it for free. I heard a preacher, and he told me, I heard this in the last year. I didn't even tell anybody about it as I was talking to him. He told me, I took the weight off that couple, basically. He thought he did a good thing, and he's a Holy Ghost preacher. He told me, they were so discouraged, I took the weight off of them. They were living together. I said, well, y'all been long enough together. It's common law. I thought to myself, I don't know what happens to preachers that help people go to hell. See, I'll stand before him one day and you won't be there. You'll be there. But you'll be over. You'll be. Now I have to look into those black piercing eyes, pools of love. And I'll have to answer to him. Did you preach it in truth? Paul said, I'm freed in conscience from every man. I've wronged no man. Now that's a big statement for a man that had a bunch of Christians put to death. He wasn't talking about that old Paul. He's talking about the new Paul. He wronged no man in teaching and preaching. He robbed nobody from finances. He didn't put up a pretense like, if you don't give, I'm not sure what's going to happen. You know, it's all on you. But even maybe more so, he was saying, I preached a truth that would deliver the absolute and get people to heaven. Boop. And then it flatlines. Not a physical, but a spirit. Can it ever be renewed? Yes, I believe so. It's probably harder. It's harder. But you got to bring them out of, and they've got to confess to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy. Satan has put them in a bondage. But what's worse is that preachers put them in the bondage. The last pixels, the Holy Spirit saying, come on, come on, come on. Do you think it's important? Let me ask you, quiz, you can answer this. There better be no no's. Do you think it's important when that baby is born to teach him truth? Amen. Do you think somebody that pats you and says, honey, it's all right, he knows. Do you think they love you? Absolutely not. Now there's a way to do everything without hurting people and loving them. Hallelujah. Jesus, but you begin to just close your eyes and worship him. And hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we heard a call some time ago that your desire was to rescue a harvest in the world and to rescue a harvest in the church. And we're calling on you today for this harvest. That, Lord, there's a washing. There's a cleansing. There's a coming out. Not that any of us are perfect. We're all being perfected day by day. If we do miss it, we've got the blood. It's on the mercy seat. It stands as a great memorial. But Father, we pray right now, not only for those that are here listening, but for those that are watching, the consciousness of, Lord, those that are that you're speaking to, and Lord, sowing this doctrine to all that are walking in righteousness. Right now. If you're in here, and we're all praying, and it's really private, people, I'm not even looking around at the crowd so much. But if you've never received Christ, as in, you know, you haven't received Him, or you've walked away and you're not sure really how far you've walked away, you don't know if the pixels are still there, if the light's still there, He will take you back. The Lord that said to Peter 70 times, seven in one day, forgive. If He said that to us as human beings, how much more is He willing to take us back wherever we're at? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're here this morning, you're watching even, you say, please pray for me, because I'm really not sure if I was, if I've been born again or where I was, but I'm not sure where my walk's at. I'm not sure that level of light that's left. I want to make sure. And I can tell you that even if it all went out, you can get back. If it all went out, you can get back. Hallelujah. With no one looking around, is there anybody, just by the lifting of your hand, say, please pray for me. I see that. Yes, ma'am. I see that in the back. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? You can put them down. Thank you. I see your hands. Yes. Yes, sir. Listening to Him. There's maybe some out there. I don't know. Most everybody that watches this is born again. Anybody else? Because I'm going to pray this. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. All right, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to pray. We're going to have a baptism at some point. Water baptism doesn't save you, but it does give you an opportunity to say, hallelujah, I am walking in truth. I've been born again. I think it'll be great. Boy, we waited to the winter to have it. We're not going to have it in any, you know, I've got a little pool. Others have got pools, but we'll have it right out here in the parking lot. And we'll probably stream it too. Well, Pastor, don't lose this opportunity to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody else? Say, please pray for me. I'm not sure. Okay, there was about at least three. Father, right now, not only for these, but for those that are watching, may the grace of God come upon their life. Stir them, Lord, in a way in which they know today is the day. It's a turnaround day. And for everybody, for all of us, because as Gary says, it won't hurt us. Let's all pray this prayer together. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, for His blood, for His blood that He shed on this planet, that same blood that He presented the day that He ascended. And that blood still stands on the mercy seat in heaven. Father, come into my life. Jesus, your blood is my trust. I trust in you. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Wash me. Wash me fresh and anew. I'm certain that you take me back, or you take me in. I receive you, Jesus. I will follow you all the days of my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I did not get any of my notes. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we'll be here because we need to be. We have missed a few. And we've only got a couple more before we probably break for the Christmas holidays and Thanksgiving holidays. But we'll finish up the last chapter that we've been studying on Romans, the 9, 10, 11. We'll finish up 11 tonight, and then we'll just, if we do go, we'll probably have prayer next week. But hallelujah. Join us tonight. Join us online. Hallelujah. Harry, let's just worship just for a few minutes. We're even getting out of here a little early. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
My provider.
Yes, Jesus.
Jehovah Nissi.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom.
Jesus.
You're my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you because of who. Lord, I worship you because of